Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Waller, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. I'm Greg Wallach, and I'm here with Steve Wheeler today. If you have any ideas for the show, maybe a guest suggestion, or want to be a guest, please reach out to me at greg@remodelersadvantage.com. In remodeling, it's easy to focus on the nuts and the bolts, or as Steve likes to say, the blocking and the tackling. That's the budgets, the schedules, the permits, the inspections. But luckily, we are surrounded by dedicated and disciplined and, of course, motivated remodeling professionals who believe that their success comes from also focusing on culture. Today, we're going to look specifically at building sort of a crew culture. That's the day-to-day vibe that gets built on the job site, the food truck, during the slow moments, and, of course, the high-stress ones. It's the difference between a group of people who work together and a team that moves as one. So how do we keep people engaged as a team? How do we build a complete workplace where trade partners, carpenters, designers, and managers actually want to show up and do their best work for each other? Sometimes it's structured. That's training, coaching, team building. Other times it's as simple as breaking bread together. A few tacos on Tuesday, a burrito lunch when the concrete's poured. Food is an underrated but powerful tool. Sharing a meal together builds trust, breaks down barriers, and creates a natural space for connection. It turns coworkers into teammates by fostering casual conversation, mutual respect, and a sense of belonging, one bite at a time. It allows us to get to know each other on a personal level, permitting a glimpse into someone's life we might not get to see otherwise. Now, today's conversation is about those moments and how intentional gatherings and intentional leadership can create job site chemistry that fuels great work, happy teams, and stronger client outcomes. So, Steve, would you please introduce our guest?
All right. So today's guest, John Pereira, brings nearly three decades of hands-on experience in the construction industry. He began his career in concrete and landscaping, transitioned into cabinet making, and steadily advanced to the role of production manager. John has also spent time in the commercial sector, serving as a project manager for a framing and drywall company in the San Francisco area. But at his core, John's passion lies in residential remodeling, a space where he's truly found his calling. Outside of work, John is a proud father of four and part of a lively household of six, which he finally describes as controlled chaos. His family enjoys camping adventures with the occasional fishing trip mixed in. While he once loved skateboarding, these days he's more of a spectator cheering from the sidelines. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
John, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Anything more you want to tell us about yourself?
No, I think Steve really summed it up there. It was just wonderful.
Well, why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about Mac, their culture, and what that culture means to the company?
Mac Design Build has been doing residential remodels for almost 24 years, I believe. We're located in Davis, California, and our work expands a radius about 40 miles, Sacramento region. We do ADUs. We do small fences to $2 million jobs. And we have a production team of about seven and a design team about, I think, six now.
So I use the term crew culture, but, you know, how would you describe that and what does that mean to you in your role as a production manager?
Crew culture to me is it's family. It's being able to walk on the job site, knowing that these people have your back and you have their back, and be able to laugh together. Of course, there's frustrations, but there's always family. And being able to be open to one another, that is really key.
We use the word engagement in the opening monologue there. And What are some signs that you look for to know that your team is engaged?
Questions, always, you know, they're engaged. Always reaching out at the end of the day. Hey, what am I doing tomorrow? What am I doing for the rest of the week? Hey, when are we getting lunch together? Is there any like, I would say, any fun things happening, you know? And they even when they're just asking you about your family, like, how are your kids doing? Hey, you going fishing? You want to, can I come? That's just, you just know they're engaged.
So you invite yourself along, and if they say yes, that's engagement.
I honestly try to, but I don't get a lot of invites because, you know, leadership team is sometimes the leadership team.
So how much of the work at Mac is in-house or, you know, employee-based, and how much are you doing with trade partners?
I say we're at right now about 80-85% trade partners, and then the rest is, you know, framing, finished carpentry, and demo. And that's why I have such a lean crew, and I like to keep it like that.
Because you have a good trade partner pool, you have good resources that you can rely on.
I have a great trade partner pool, and they're also part of our culture. So we do have, you know, trade appreciations. I'll go out and have lunch with them, seeing what they need. They are our family too. And a lot of them are local guys and gals, and they're really, it's a family. So they're kind of like Mac Design Build employees.
Okay. Now I've seen that on social media. I've seen other companies posting your jobs, especially your porta potty, you know, hiding devices, which I think are amazing. What are some of the things, you know, you mentioned like getting lunch and things like that, but what are some of the things that you do that keeps the production team and your trade partners aligned together? It's a common goal. I'm assuming it's, you know, like you said, they're your guys, so to speak, even though they are our trade partners. Mm-hmm. What is John doing as a production manager to keep these folks engaged and aligned?
So as you kind of said, a burrito day is a huge day for us. That's concrete pour day. And everyone knows when there's concrete being poured, there's going to be burritos. And burritos are, you know, they're inexpensive, but they give you that opportunity to sit down with all the crew and share war stories and just pretty much anything. What's the next projects coming up? What can I do to, you know, be better? But everyone knows. And so Burrito Day consists of trade partners, usually the designer on the team, the crew that's on the team, and sometimes the client and their kids come by, and I get them burritos too, and they get to like hang out too. And it's real. Everyone gets excited. I get text messages all the time. Hey, is burrito day coming up? Like, yeah, it is. It's in a couple weeks. And then it holds you to the schedule too. It's like, okay, this is a big deal. We got to stay on schedule because burrito day is coming.
I didn't think of it that way, the schedule side. So what was the genesis for that? How did you decide that that was going to be something that would be part of the Mac culture?
When I went to commercial, I left Mac Design for 2 years and went to commercial. The owner called it myself going to college, really. And then they used to have this thing called topping out parties. So first layer drywall, that means they threw a huge party, raffles, and they'd have food services come out. And then I took that and said, you know, they don't do that a lot in residential. So when I came back to Mac, the first job pouring, I just told the owners, like, hey, we should buy all these guys burritos. They're working hard, and it'll allow us to all to come together. And for 3 years now, it's just been a highlight of part of the project.
Nice. And again, the schedule part, that was a light bulb. I like that idea of mm-hmm. using it as motivation for your team, mm-hmm. you know, to keep that on track.
Turns into a milestone like that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. So you also mentioned in the notes that you sent me ahead of time Taco Tuesday, spelled T-A-L-K-O Tuesday. Tell me more about that and what you do with that in the company.
So we just had our first one a couple days ago, and Taco Tuesday is I bring the production team in, and it's how your communication mindset with a client and how to talk to clients, how to validate feelings, how to just be on their side. And what we do is Bree, who works in the office here, orders up all the tacos. And we have lunch first, and we have a back deck here, and we all just sit there and, you know, just talk about it. And then once the food's done, then we get into kind of a role playing, like the angry client, and hey, this floor doesn't look how you said it was, but in more of a angry tone, of course. And then we just role play, and we just have Bree put out a list of things you could say, and trying to use our core values in responses. And it really helps the guys be able to talk to clients and homeowners, because we're working right there. A lot of times the homeowners and remodels are living in a bedroom right next door to their kitchen as we're just pounding on the walls. So you have to, you know, you're walking on eggshells in a way, but that is Taco Tuesdays.
It sounds like a fairly new initiative for you, but are you bringing mm-hmm. trades in for that as well?
Not yet, but I think that would be the next step, is bring trades in. The guys really enjoyed it. Everyone was really involved with it and helping each other out. No, hey, you should respond like this. So the next step was, I think I will hold like bring one trade in at a time that are like the plumber, who's great. And yeah.
Might be fun to see them do some role playing as well. And maybe you can act as a client, you know, towards an angry plumber or something like that. Not that that.
Yeah, right. Like it would be entertainment for the first couple minutes for sure.
Yeah. So I think sharing food is a big deal mm-hmm. In any kind of culture situation, whether it's office or field staff and things like that. I often use donuts as an example. I think donuts are an excellent form of communication. You know, I actually throw that in one of my presentations. I talk about, you know, using the food as bringing folks together, where it's coffee and donuts and that sort of thing. You know, why do you think these sort of shared table moments matter for your job site and the, you know, the culture it's building, whether it's camaraderie or those sorts of things? Any real, you know, some examples you can use of things that were fixed or avoided, or, you know, anything like that, that these moments may have helped?
Yeah. We've had, on one of the projects, we were about to pour a bunch of stem walls on a raised foundation. And we had the designer come through on a burrito day right before pour. And they noticed a couple of hold downs in a window, of course, that usually happens. And being able to not like have to go back and talk to her manager to come talk to me, is they're able to be open to you and be like, hey, this is in a window. I remember this window being there, and fix it right there. Saved 8 hours of work when you're installing a window. People catch things, and sometimes we'll have a laborer come in and like, hey, I noticed the job site's messed up. I'll clean it up right now after burritos. So it's, you're catching problems in the real, and you know, you get handled. 2 hours of work saves weeks sometimes, and it's all because of a shiny burrito.
So is that something you're actively kind of having the designer or the laborer, you know, going through the site looking for potential issues? Because that's, I mean, that saving of any rework or, you know, having to redo anything is huge. But is mm-hmm. that actively, is that just a byproduct, or are you actively working to get that as a piece of burrito day?
It's a little of both, depending on job size.
Okay.
Like we have a burrito day coming up tomorrow, actually, and it's this is we lifted a house 6 inches to level, and then added stem walls and everything, and we're gonna have the designer come through, and that'd be one of those things to be proactive and actually walk it before burritos, and then or even talk it over a burrito, and then sometimes a pour day could be just pouring back indoor slabs after plumbing. And that's one of those byproducts. Like the laborer just walking through and they see it and they're like, oh, I'm gonna bring the trailer by after this and clean it up.
That's fa that's awesome. And the Taco Tuesday, that is really a cool concept. When you so obviously we have a few different levels to clients that can be troublesome. I think there's picky clients, which I'm all that's great. That's part of the job. You should deal with that. You should have high standards anyway. But then there's unreasonable clients. And how is there a template that you use when you're coaching the members? Is it just really an intentionality about being aware of the moment, places to not go, places to direct them? Because a lot of times that just instantly gets shifted upwards to management, you know, in some cases where there's, you know, whatever the client is complaining or asking about. But does that, are you trying to get that situation handled right at that point? I'm just curious about the kind of the training piece on that, because that's really helpful.
So we do have a template. Bree made a template that we shared on our platforms like Slack and email. So they always have like a kind of an SOP, standard operating procedure to go back on and look at it. And it is fresh in our company, but it you could tell it's working. But yes, we do have a template, a whole thing of situations, and there's always that one where you feel like you're not going anywhere, and it's the key is just keep on validating their feelings and
Yes.
try not to have answers, because you get stuck in a corner. And one of the it's funny example, one of our things was, hey, this caulking looks not up to par. I thought this was supposed to be max standards. And then you get where it's like, it is max standards. And how do you explain this to a client? Other expectations, you know? And it's validating, okay, yes, I see it. It does look a little wonky. Let me talk to my crew about it, and then I could come back to you in a couple of days and on answers. And sometimes I'll just keep on carrying on to a point where this is how it's going to be. Unfortunately, and you know, remodeling, it's totally different than building a new house. So you're gonna have different variances with things. But like I said, it's
Yeah.
always validating feelings, because we are in a business that it's a lot of feelings. There's a lot of feelings.
Yeah, and I think that's great because I have had employees that have overpromised, you know, myself into a lot of money, you know, or just into a situation you don't want to be in, admitting fault on something that was just needed to be redirected or reframed with the client. No, that's really, really great stuff. One thing about company culture that I find fascinating is just you guys are very intentional about it. And in many cases, if you're not creating company culture, someone else is in the organization. So the intentionality is really important. I think there's what I've talked to a lot of people recently about cultures. Sometimes it seems to they want it to be this euphoric workplace where people are kind of running around a field and, you know, happy. But hard work still needs to be done. And you still need to, you know, really work the machine to get output of the team. So, how do you see, like, you know, mixing that, you know, the friendliness and the kind of openness of the Taco Tuesday and the burrito day with we've got a lot of work to get done, and we still need to hold each other accountable. Sometimes can be a mix. How do you kind of bridge that?
So one way that we do it, we use it goes to the numbers and having your employees understand how long it takes and what we need to be a successful business. And so we use a great game of business, and we hold every other week a numbers meeting, and everyone is in charge of numbers, and we set up teams. So like one team is controlled of revenue, one team is controlled of how many building materials, and this is able for everyone in the company to see if really if we're gonna make a bonus and if the company's gonna make money. And so that's kind of how it transfers the, yeah, we got a lot of work to do. And they know that because they see the numbers.
Yeah, I think that data is so awesome. Kind of the time and dollars piece. This is the schedule we need to hit. These are the dollars at hand. The information's out there. So it takes some of the people and emotion out of it. And that's awesome. That's really cool. Great game of business is a great structure.
We also, you know, since they're teams, there's always a winning team at the end of the quarter or end of the month. And once again, you get a free lunch if you win and possibly a bonus. And so it's everyone's out to get lunch, you know, working together. Because you'll have a designer, there's teams of four, I believe, and it'd be like a designer, a PM, and you'll have like a apprentice carpenter on the team that he's jumping into numbers. But as a team, they all learn together what it takes, what them personally, how they can affect the company.
Now, John, what I'd love to get into is your taco order, your burrito order, but we're not going to. All right. There, I do have some questions that about your coaching, your communication style and things like that. But what do you think makes a field team, you know, great communicators? How are you coaching them, as, you know, especially talking with clients and things like that? And a lot of people don't allow their trade partners to maybe have, you know, client facing roles, but sometimes when you're 85% trade partners, you have to have that. So how are you coaching your in-house and your trade partners to have these good conversations?
Well, I think it starts with our job trade platform with daily logs. Everyone sees them, client, trade partners, internal, and that helps communication because the client sees it. They know who's going to be on the job site. They know what's happening. Walks with trade partners with the client there. A lot of our trade partners do come on our walks, like our drywall walks or electrical walks. And it's able so the clients could see the actual trade partner being there and seeing myself communicate to them or our PM communicate to them. It kind of brushes off on that trade partner knowing how to communicate to a client.
Building off of that, my next question is actually, how do you, as John, you know, how do you reinforce or model these behaviors for your team?
Holding we production meetings of every other week with the crew. Doing these Taco Tuesdays, I'm heavily involved with them, or even calling the guys in and talk. I'm at almost every walk on the job. I'm coaching, not necessarily like saying, hey, you need to do this, or it's more like, hey, this is how I do it. This is how we should try to do it. Do you think this works for you? Talking up, not talking down. That's how my style of coaching.
Okay. So someone who's maybe just starting to do this with their team, what's some advice you might give them to build a more, you know, connected or cohesive team? We've used the word engaged a few times now, but what's some advice you might give?
Be open. I would say be open the first time you do it. Like the people will think it's going to happen every time. So it's set that tone, like, no, this is for this milestone. And this is you, and be open to what people's feedback is coming back to you when you're sitting those burrito talks, letting them know it is a safe place. You could talk about it. We're here as a team, and just really team focus.
So if a company's culture isn't necessarily where it needs to be, Is there one lever that you could pull or one gate or like what's a small chunk that a company could take to maybe improve that process?
I would say what worked for me is when you're in management, you think you know the answers that your team needs, and it's really the team knows the answers. And if the culture isn't working, it's time to talk to the team and really listen to the team. That is huge. Unfortunately, sometimes it's that person or multiple people don't fit your culture. And you have to just go back to your core values and really look at, does this person represent our core values? Are they our mission statement? And you ask those guys in their reviews so they feel like it's safe to talk. And it lets them know that you're listening. And that's how you build culture. You know that upper management is listening.
Well, John, I'm going to kick it over to Steve here. He's got some lightning round questions.
It's Hammer Time with Steve Wheeler.
You have not heard these questions ahead of time, I hope. Hope Steve hasn't fed them to you. Steve, take it away.
I don't know. I just all of a sudden started singing MC Hammer, but Hammer Time with Steve. Okay, ready? Here we go. Favorite book, fiction or nonfiction?
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit. Oh man, classic. If you could have lunch with any famous builder or designer, who would it
Frank
be?
Lloyd.
Great, man. Answers two for two. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Ooh. Probably invisibility.
Okay, that's solid. What's a random skill you've always wanted to learn but haven't yet?
Oh man, I've learned everything, Steve. No,
He's the all-knowing.
I think I'm gonna be learning how to fly fish.
Oh, all right. We got two more, cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Okay. And favorite vacation spot?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. Man, it's quick. Never had somebody so decisive. Good production manager. All right. Thank
Very
you.
good.
Thank you, guys.
John, any one last nugget you want to leave for the audience? Anything else you want to share with us?
Just, I would say, one quote that I always go by is, "The magic you're looking for is in the work you're not doing," and it really helps me just be like, I need to do this. I know this is the right thing to do.
Very good, John. John, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with everything with Mac.
Well, thank you very much, you too.
Thank you, John.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Steve, what did you get from this?
I mean, I got it all. There's a lot. There's what Mac is doing, which I think, just a really, really great company. I know the owners very well, Anthony, Ken, and Ellen. I think there's a lot. So there's just the intentionality, like I mentioned, with the burrito and the burrito day and the Taco Tuesday, just bringing the team together. And I think the other thing that really stood out to me is John's overall just approach to management. I think is just people can take a lot from the way that he kind of views the role of manager and, listening to the team, being coachable yourself, and being accountable to yourself and to the team. And I think just the overall way that he views his role in the whole process and then using the team input is huge. I mean, it's just the awareness of it all is really inspiring. I think that people could take a lot from this episode, and I think all production managers should be listening to this episode because a lot of fantastic nuggets on management here.
Absolutely. There's other things we could ask John about. He's got this great thing called folding laundry, and it's just kind of his time. He blocks it out. It's the thing you don't want to do, but you got to get it done. Maybe it's eating the frog, that sort of thing. But yeah, John has a lot to offer. I love the sort of the, culture, I guess, is kind of being overused right now. But the fact that, you know, folks know when concrete's showing up to a Mac job, we're going to get out there. You've got, you know, John mentioned an apprentice who decided it was the right time to clean. Really sends a great message. And it, you know, we joke a little bit about the food on the job site, but I think it's a really great way of bringing folks together. You know, breaking bread and however you want to look at it is a super, you know, positive way to bring groups of people together, whether it's in our industry or outside of our industry. It really is a super thing.
Yeah, and I haven't disliked anything you've mentioned today. I love donuts. I love burritos. I love tacos. Yeah, we can talk.
I did get hungry from that. This episode. I am gonna.
I did. I truly did. I'm hungry.
Well, I want to thank John again. Really appreciate you being on with us today. I want to thank all the listeners as well. And I look forward to another episode of the Why We Build podcast.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email Greg@remodelersadvantage.com.